We are continuing the journey of life. One thing is needful, in spite of the busyness and our engagements. We should not forget that everyone is the main goal. Of course, there are activities we might be engrossed in. There are things we might be doing. But we need to understand that being in the center wheel of God is very important. So today we'll be looking at Heaven's Gate, and when we talk about Heaven's Gate, we're talking about part of the requirements, the expectation of God from us as pilgrims that are walking the journey of life before we will be able to enter. There is a gate to the entrance of the kingdom of God, and it's important that our works are proved first before we will be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Before we proceed, I will say a word of prayer, and then we'll look at a few scriptures and look at what the mind of God is for and the mind of Jesus for those whom he has prepared paradise for. And I pray that as we'll dig into God's words, that as we search the scripture, the Holy Spirit will minister to our lives, will minister to our heart, and there will be a change in us, and the grace of God will be made available for us to be able to tap into the resource that is needed for us to be able to make heaven at the hand. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for making it possible for us to be gathered today on another time of fellowship in your presence. Lord, we are praying. We ask, God, that as we look into your word, and as we consider the subject, Heaven's Gate, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes, will be able to see the needed requirements, those things that we need to do in terms of preparing to enter into these gates. Lord, we pray that you will touch our life, you will minister to our hearts, and you open our eyes of understanding, so and give us the grace to be able to do your will according to your commandments in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you, Father, for we know it is done. For in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen.
As we consider God's word, we'll be looking at a few scriptures. The subject before us is Heaven's Gate. And it is important for us to remind ourselves, considering ourselves as pilgrims, walking the journey of life. God wants us to understand that everything doesn't end here. So, likewise, we should understand that as we walk the journey of life, there are so many things that will make demands from us in terms of our flesh, demanding from us things to do, and the flesh will always, make demands. The flesh will not always want us to do the things that are of God, but it is important that it is not by power, it is not by might, but by the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that quickens, the Spirit of God quickens our mortal bodies, our physical bodies, so as to be able to do the things of God. And as we consider the subject Heaven's Gate today, I'll be taking my reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. If you have a copy of a Bible on your phone, you can open it up. And if you have a physical Bible, likewise, do the same. So we'll be looking at Matthew, chapter 7. In verse 13 to verse 14, Matthew chapter 7, the New Testament, in verse 13 and 14. Now, Jesus Christ spoke the word, and speaking to the people and trying to make them understand what Heaven's Gate is all about. And then he made mention of this in chapter 13 of Matthew 7. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that finds it." And when we are talking about Heaven's Gate, we are talking about the what Christ mentioned in verse 14, because strait is the gate. Now, if you look at the activities of, you know, many of us will work in companies, many of us, we are certified professionals. Some work, you know, in the food industry, some work in the pharmaceutical industry, some maybe, you know, we work in different spheres, right? So it is important for us to understand that heaven is not just a place, it's a home that God dwells in. And the home that God dwells in, nothing can just enter in without being proved, without going through the quality control checks. If you, for instance, if you work in the food industry, you'll discover that there are certain regulations, you know, that guides the food industry. If you work in a pharmaceutical industry, you discover that there are certain regulations, right? There are certain body that actually regulates to make sure that there are no fake drugs, there are no expired products on your shelf, right? The reason why these regulatory bodies are there is to make sure that there is checks and balances and there is compliance, right? The same thing is applicable to heaven. If you must enter into heaven, you know, it's not a place where sin dwells. It's a place of holiness. It's a place of righteousness. It's a place of purity. So for you to be able to enter into this gate, you have your works on earth has to be proved. If you live in sin, you cannot enter in to heaven's gate. Now in verse 14, it says there that because straight is the gate. It's a narrow path. It doesn't accommodate sin. It doesn't accommodate iniquity. It doesn't accommodate lasciviousness. It doesn't accommodate things that offend. So for you to be able to enter into this gate, your work has to be proved. There must be an history of your life. You must be checked. You have to be checked before you be able to enter it. I made an example of those who work in different industry, maybe the petroleum industry or any industry at all. You would discover that there are quality control just to make sure that what is being given, what is being offered to the end users, what is being given to those who will be using a product is not fake. It's original. It has gone through different processes and before becoming a finished product, right? So the same thing in heaven. Right? In heaven, if you still live in sin, or you still lie, you still fight, you still steal, and all, you cannot enter in, because as you walk the journey of life, you will discover that the flesh will make demands from you. The flesh will want you to walk against the mind of God, against the will of God, against it. So it's the journey to into heaven and entering into this gate is a tightrope walking. God doesn't want us for the fact that He prepared a place for us, right? He has sent us the Holy Spirit to make sure that we are educated about His economy, about His kingdom, about His what is expected in His kingdom, right? If we find ourselves, you know, still living in sin, then there is no entrance into heaven. That is the summary. There is no entrance into heaven. The journey to heaven is a misery, right? And only those who have taken their walk of righteousness serious, because for you to be able to walk with God, for you to be able to be obedient to the will of God, to the purpose, you have to mean it. Just like the way you work for money. You mean it to go to work, right? You mean it to take your bath. You mean it to obey the company's rule, right? You mean every step, everything that you do, you are determined. Nobody wants, if you want to work with, you have to be resolute. You have to be determined, because a lot of things will come at you. You have to do away with some of your friends, some of your sinful friends. You have to cut them off. Some of the things that you do, maybe you go to a beer parlor to drink, maybe all those things that offend. Maybe you lie before, you have friends that do lie. You have to, the road to heaven, right? It's a tight rope walking. Some things have to leave you. Or you have to leave some things. You have to say, no, I don't want to. Because for you to deal with God, you have to be determined. If you see anybody that is still living in sin, or that is still living in life of lasciviousness, that is still living in iniquity, that is still sinning, that person has not determined in his mind to walk with God. And that's what Jesus Christ is trying to say here, that broad is the way, right? It says here in verse 11, verse 13, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. It's talking about hell. Sin, it accommodates, because the economy of hell is different from heaven. The economy of hell is broad, right? Anything false can enter into it. Anything like lying, stealing, fighting, abusing, disobedient, and, a life of iniquity can fit in because it's broad. And in any space, like I made an example of those who work in different industries. If you find a society that accommodates violence, right? It's that kind of society. Right? That kind of economy, that kind of industry that accommodates anything. People can do anything. People can violate laws. People can drive anyhow. People can fight. They can steal. They can do anything. And in those kind of economy, right, you will not find righteousness in it. You will not find purity in it. You will not find holiness in it. So it is important for us to understand that the economy of Satan is different from the economy of God. In the economy of God, your work has to be proved. There has to be a quality control check. You have to be checked. In the economy of Satan, anything goes. Anything goes. And that's why you find in these days and age that we are in, if you must walk the walk of righteousness, perhaps you were once saved, and then you discover that all of a sudden something started to find expression in your life. That you begin to steal company's money, you begin to fight, you begin to lie, you begin to, if you are still in attending a church that all these things, the things that are being discussed there, they are not word of eternal life, word of life, word of hope, word of the kingdom of God. The message of Jesus is not being emphasized over time, and you discover that your life has not changed. I advise you, just pack your bag and look for a different church to attend. And don't just attend because you want. You yourself, you have to search the scripture. You have to read through the scriptures. You have to look at this word of hope. You have to know God yourself. Knowing God yourself will make you see the walk of righteousness as something that you can do. is not impossible. With God, all things are possible. So it is important for you to personally know God. So many people attend churches today because they feel, well, it's a daily routine. I grew up in a Christian home. But you have to, you yourself personally, you are the church. Your body is the church. Your body is the temple of God. So whatever you do in your body, it will be proved at the gate of heaven. So you cannot continue to live in sin and then decide that, and then make up your mind that, okay, when the trumpet sounds, when Jesus Christ come, I will enter in. You are going nowhere. That's the emphasis of what we are saying here. And when you look at the scriptures in verse 12, it says in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 12, it says, therefore all things, it says there, in verse 13, enter in ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There is no shortcut to heaven. It's a daily walk with God. Daily walk with God. You wake up, you pray, you read your Bible, you meditate on the scriptures at work, at home. And someone say, how can I juggle all these things? Yes, you can do it. But it is not by your power. It is not by your strength. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Walking with God requires determination. You have to be resolute to walk with God. I don't see anyone that wants to buy a house that is not resolute. That kind of person has to be resolute to save over the years, to save some money, to make, you know, to invest in some things. That kind of determination is what God requires from us. For you to walk with God, you need to be determined. You need to be resolute in your mind. When you look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6 in verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 9 and 10. This is for the apostles writing to the church at Corinth. It says here, the scripture says in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You cannot dwell in an economy that is furnished with righteousness, that is made of holiness. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Perhaps you are listening to this message today and, God has been calling you in one way or the other, maybe by your dreams, you discover that God is trying to bring you closer to Him, but you are still entangled with sinful friends. You are still entangled with the yoke of sin. You know, you're still lying. You're still fighting. You can't walk with God. You can't walk with God. If sin is found in you, God is a holy God, is a God of purity, is a God of righteousness. When you look at the account of Nicodemus, as one of those who actually encountered Jesus, I mean, so many people encountered Jesus, but we're given an account of Nicodemus as someone who basically encountered Jesus and then was wondering, you know, after Jesus Christ, after listening to Jesus over time, and he begins to wonder that, well, I'm a teacher here, but this particular doctrine is different from what I'm used to. And he pressed further and he tries to know more. And that is what God expects from us. Sometimes we look at the walk of righteousness as being difficult in this busy world. The world is too busy. We live in a very busy world. And sometimes no, nobody can walk in righteousness in this world. This world that is busy, that everything is just coming here and there, you know, going, the world is busy. Very, very, very busy. It's like a mall. You walk into a mall, you see different stores, people are going in, coming out, people are walking on the pathway, people, everywhere is busy. Everybody is selling. That is, in fact, matter of fact, we have not seen it. The way the world is going to be busier in the nearest future. In fact, that was why, you know, one of the reasons why we have to be conscious about our daily living, about our daily lives, is because of the emphasis of the kingdom. If the Son of Man will come again, will he find faith in the world? Because of how busy the world is. The world is going to be busy. Unless, you know, as believers who believe in Jesus, who believe that there is a God that made the heaven and earth, let not continue, you know, to be in doubt that, okay, maybe there will be a certain season that everything will be calm. Nothing will be calm. Because knowledge is always increasing. As knowledge increases, so also the world will become busier, right? So also the world will become busier. So before, there was nothing like Instagram, there was nothing like Facebook, there was nothing like, you know, Snapchat, TikTok, you know, all those social media platforms, right? But now that there is, the world will become busier. Sometimes you want to read your Bible on your phone. Before you know it, you've gone through 1 hour and you've looked through Instagram for 1 hour, but you want to read the Bible, right? So that's how busy. So it takes determination for you to be able to enter into the kingdom of God, to be able to serve God the way He really wants you to serve Him. Your friends will call, maybe it's time for you to say some prayers. Your friends will call you, where are you? Let's hang out here. There are some friends you have to cut off. Like I did say, the road to the kingdom of God, entering in at the straight gate, is a tight rope walking. You have to be resolute. You have to be determined. Serving God requires personal determination. If you have not determined that you want to serve God, then you will continue to live in sin. Serving God will take some things, the Holy Spirit will come and say, this one, you have to cut it off. And perhaps you realize that, what is the fun in Christianity? There is fun. Right? So, if you want to live a righteous life, the righteous life is not a frivolous life. It's not a life that anything goes. You have to make friends that are godly. Friends that you can, of course, you can hang out together, discuss, you know, about life, but the end goal is the kingdom of heaven. The end goal is the kingdom of heaven. People want to live a lascivious life and then wants to serve God at the same time. These two things does not align. It does not align. Entering in at the straight gate is a tightrope walking. So when you look at the account of Nicodemus, you know, and the account of an officer that the Pharisees actually sent to go, you know, arrest Jesus Christ during his missionary journey in the temple in Galilee, when they heard his word, they were pricked in their heart. They were surprised. Like, you know, when they went back to give a feedback to those who sent them, the officers went back and said, when they asked them, where is he? They said, never man has ever spoken like this man. We've never heard this kind of letters before. What this man is speaking is a word of life, is a word of hope. You remember in the book of John, when it says, when the Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there is an economy, there is a kind of life that God expects us to live if we must make heaven at the end, if we must enter into His kingdom. And someone says, how can you be, and you are not enjoying life, you are not grooving, you are not, you know. The walk with God is a mystery, that someone will live in a day without sinning. Going to work, coming back home without committing sin is a mystery. You look at an account, the letter of Paul to Timothy, you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16, 1 Timothy 3 in verse 16. 1 Timothy 3 in verse 16. Paul told Timothy is a spiritual son to Paul, and he said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Then he explained further, what do you mean by great is the mystery of godliness? Living a godly life every day is a mystery. But you can only walk the path of righteousness by the help of God. Your human flesh cannot walk the path of righteousness. No. Your human flesh cannot. Because when you want to pray, the flesh will say, "Why are you praying now? Don't you know that it's time to go to so-and-so a place to go and groove? Or don't you know it's time to watch so-and-so movie?" Your flesh cannot make you walk the path of righteousness. What can make you walk the path of righteousness is your total submission to the will of God, to the mind of God, to what the Holy Spirit tells you all the time. Right? So Paul the Apostle was telling Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So how can you explain that? Someone was received in glory. It's a mystery, right? So God wants us to understand that there is an economy, there is a life that is expected of us to live in this world. There's a way God wants us to live. Because what? For us to enter in at the straight gate, into the gates of heaven, there is a requirement. There's a quality control checks. There are checks and balances. There are X-rays. There are things that will weigh our works on earth to see if we are fit into entering into the kingdom of God. So Paul the Apostle was explaining to Timothy that this life of godliness is a mystery. Okay, how can somebody be seen of angels? We're told of Peter, James, and John in the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, when Elijah and Moses appeared to him, and you know, and he was transfigured and all, and you know, he was trying to explain, how can these things be? It's a mystery. That you haven't seen an angel does not mean they don't exist. That you have not walked the path of righteousness, you've not lived in a whole month without sinning, does not mean it does not exist. You have not walked in that path, but there are thousands, there are people who have walked that path of righteousness, and we have the accounts written in the scriptures. So it is important for us to come to this knowledge of truth and understand that, you know, it's not for you to not start doubting and not start saying, is this work of righteousness? Is it real? Is it? Try walking with God. Embrace the word of God. Embrace the will of God. In summary, what I'm trying to say here is that God wants us to walk with Him. He loved the world so much. And is trying to show us that there is the life we are living now, there is an expectation of heaven concerning our life. There is a life God expects of His children. There is an economy of God that God wants to bring us into. This economy cannot accommodate sin. This economy cannot accommodate iniquity. This economy cannot accommodate unrighteousness, cannot accommodate fighting, abusing, cannot accommodate, you know, things that defiles the body. It cannot accommodate it. When you look at, let's just look at the book of Revelations, you know, the book of Revelations, the book of Revelations chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21 in verse 27. Revelation 21 in verse 27. And, you know, when this revelation was revealed to John, right? The testimonies, right, that John documented here are realities of things that have been revealed to him. The reality of things that have been revealed to him. And it's saying in verse 20, in verse 27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination or maketh a lie. The word maketh a lie here means false, right? It's like living a life that is unholy, that is not balanced, right? You are one leg in the world and you are one leg in the kingdom. You can't do that. No, that is not permitted. Heaven doesn't permit that. You can't go to a nightclub and then, you know, sleep around, and then on Sunday you come to church and say, holy, holy, holy. God does not take expression in that kind of, it does not take pleasure in that kind of vocal expression. That kind of life, that imbalance, that false life, it does not, and if you are living that kind of life, it shows that you have not found Jesus. Because when you see somebody that has found Jesus, that is walking the path of righteousness, then you can tell this one is someone that has met with Jesus. When the apostles were speaking in the book of Acts chapter 17, when they took knowledge of them, they said they knew that these ones have been with Jesus. When you see somebody who have been in Jesus, who have walked with Jesus, who knows Jesus, you will discover that there is an economy. You can't explain it. It's a mystery. And it's saying that anything that maketh a lie, anything that is false, you can't enter into this kingdom. No matter how busy the world is, God still wants us to understand that the priority is heaven. The goal is heaven. The goal is not earth. Perhaps you are living on earth and then you are living as if everything ends here. Everything doesn't end here. Everything doesn't end here. There is a heaven. And if you want to know more about heaven, start living a righteous life. Repent from your sin. Ask for forgiveness. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. That's when you will be able to, you know, start seeing the gleams of God's economy, the kind of economy God wants to bring you into. Nicodemus acknowledged the person of Jesus. In fact, he knows this. He has read the Bible. Over and over, he has read the scriptures over and over, over and over. Is a teacher of the word. But his ignorance of this economy called heaven That was the reason why he went to Jesus by night, to seek knowledge, to say, please, I need you to educate me on this matter. This matter, these subjects of heaven. And Jesus Christ said, you've been a teacher for years. If you look at the age of Nicodemus then, at least he's not a 30-year-old man now. He's not 25 years old. He's not 20 years old. He has learned the scriptures. He has read the scriptures. He is, when you talk about being lettered, this person is lettered. But then there is an ignorance of the economy of God. And that was the reason why when he listened to Jesus, he was like, what kind of doctrine is this? What kind of teaching is this? So you mean that there is a place that, okay, I will come to you at night and we can discuss more about it. That is what God wants us to do. You come unto Jesus, you accept him as your Lord and personal Savior, and then the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, begins to tell you things about kingdom, things that you can, the way to live this life of righteousness, the way to walk in holiness, in uprightness, in purity, to walk in faith, to begin to live. This economy can only be revealed in Christ. It can only be revealed in Christ. So let's look at the book of Philippians, chapter 2, in verse 12. Philippians, chapter 2, in verse 12. Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2 in verse 12. It says here, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Your own, your personal, your own. Not just work out your salvation, no. It's a daily walk with God. It's a tightrope walking. Some things will have to go. If you want to walk with God, just be resolute. Some things will have to go. Some of your old time friends that you go to nightclub and then you sleep around, you have to cut it off. You must cut them off. If you want to enter into God's resources, God's economy. There's a mystery that God wants to reveal to you, but you can't get these things except you do away with your sinful habits, your sinful, because if you want to walk with God, the flesh would not allow you. And he's saying, Paul the Apostle is saying that you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to work it out. How can these things be? That was the word of Nicodemus. How can these things be? Is this thing possible? Walking a right life of righteousness, is it possible? And Jesus had to expand to him and explain to him that you can't understand this. Just like the breeze blew from east to west, from left and right, you can't understand these things except you come into this economy. That is the only way you can understand. That is the only way. So as we walk our journeys of life, let's walk with the consciousness that there is a place called heaven. Everything does not end here. Does not end in this world. This world we are living in, it's a shadow. It's a shadow. And that's the reason why if it's permanent, people won't die. No. If it's a permanent place, like this is where we are supposed to live, this is, you won't find people dying. Everybody will be okay. But there is a place called heaven. You can't enter into this place called heaven. So this place is just a shadow. It's a passing phase. So why not invest in the economy of God? Why not invest in heaven? Why not do God's will. Why not walk the life of righteousness, the life of holiness, the life of purity? Why not walk the way God wants you to walk? And you will discover that so many people that actually attend churches today attend church based they've seen it as a ritual. Many who goes to church only goes to church because they were brought up in a Christian home. They themselves have not taken time to really dig deep into knowing God. And that's the reason why you find out that, you know, people that goes to church, many of them, they still live in sin. Many of them still walk the works of unrighteousness. Many of them are still living a lascivious life. They are still living in iniquity. They are, because they have not determined in their mind, in their hearts, to walk with God. You have to determine in your mind to walk with God. And perhaps you have found a Bible-believing church, and then you continue daily. You continue daily. If you are born again, congratulations. But this walk has to be a continuous walk. A continuous walk. The road to heaven is is a tightrope walking. It's not a road that you can bring in. Maybe when you want to enter, you now bring lasciviousness, you bring sin, no, you cannot enter in. And perhaps today you are born again today, tomorrow you backslide, today you rise today, tomorrow you fall. You need the grace of God to walk this journey. You need the grace of God. The human flesh will not allow you to enter into the kingdom of God. Flesh will make demands from you. But for you to live a life of holiness and righteousness, you need to be resolute. You need to be determined. Take up your cross daily and follow after God. You pray every day. You read the scriptures. There are places for the Holy Spirit will not allow you to go. You don't have to go. The Holy Spirit will say, this place, no more going to this place. Okay, the way you are talking to your parents, no. You can't continue like this. It's a tightrope walking. And God has made His Holy Spirit available for us so as to be able to navigate the journey of our pilgrim's journey on earth. The Holy Spirit is like a regulator. You know, I made an emphasis of those who work in food industry. There are quality control checks. Before those products that you find on the shelf at the grocery stores are there, you check that it's not expired. Okay, it's not it's well packaged. It doesn't have holes inside of it. It's not, you know, it's a finished product, right? Before it becomes a finished product in your plate, and then you start eating or you start using them on your body. It's important that we walk with the Holy Spirit. If you're born again and you're walking this journey of life, and then your priority, your goal is heaven, you have to walk and rely on the Holy Spirit. The flesh will want you to do something. The Holy Spirit will say, no, this is not how to do it. And if you obey the flesh, you are disobeying God. If you follow after the flesh, you disobey God. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides, that is in charge, that help us to walk this journey. He will tell you, no, this is, maybe so you got an invitation and somebody is inviting you to an open party. And then you're asking, Holy Spirit, should I? And the Holy Spirit begins to show you things that are likely to happen there. And then, at the end of the day, he now said, you can't go to this party. But your friend are calling you, sending you text message. You have to show up now. You don't know that you are the master of ceremony. You don't know that it's been 2 years that we've seen each other. And you have to show up at this party. We need to catch up now and talk about, you know, this. And you know these are friends that are not godly. The Holy Spirit will take some things will be, you have to... If you want to walk with a spirit, God is a spirit. If you want to walk with God and you want to enter his kingdom, you have to be determined to walk with him. I've not seen anyone in the flesh that walks in the flesh that is answerable to his flesh. And the flesh is making demands and the person is serving God and pleasing God. I've never seen that man. Not in the Bible. Not physically. Maybe if you've seen one, maybe you can show me one day. No. If you want to walk with God, who is his spirit, you have to be determined and you have to make sure that you take up your cross daily and follow him. So if you are listening to this word today, Heaven's Gate, and you have not been saved, you are yet to be saved, you are yet to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, today is an opportunity for you. I that I'm preaching to you, or that I'm opening and expanding and explaining how the kingdom of God works, I was once a sinner. Any great man of God you see today, anyone preaching the word of righteousness, was once a sinner. So if you're hearing this word today and then you have not repented of your sin, it is an opportunity for you to be saved. It is an opportunity for you to get saved. Ask God for forgiveness. And I want you to bow down your heads as we pray. As we pray, begin to talk to God that, God, help me to make heaven at the end. Help me to make heaven at the end. I want to make heaven at the end. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need you to help me. If you are yet to be saved, if you are yet to receive Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, begin to ask for forgiveness of sin, that, oh God, forgive me my sins. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Begin to ask God for forgiveness. Every sins that you can remember that you've committed, knowingly or unknowingly, ask God to forgive you and ask God to help you, to give you the grace, to give you the grace to serve him, to give you the strength to serve him, to help you daily, help you daily. Ask God to forgive you. Ask him to forgive you your sins and trespasses. Ask for mercy. Ask for mercy that, oh God, have mercy on me. I want to walk this journey. I want to walk this journey of righteousness, this journey of holiness. I want to make heaven at the end. I know I cannot do it with my power, with my own strength, but I need you to help me. I need you to help me. Ask God to forgive you. And as you're asking God to forgive you from a sincere heart, from a place of sincerity in your heart, mercy is available today. Grace is available today. And God Almighty will show you mercy in Jesus' name. And if you are walking this journey of righteousness, continue in it. Continue in it. Continue in it. Continue it. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It doesn't matter how long you've given your life to Christ. You might have been born again for 15 years, maybe 2 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, but continuity is the secret to making heaven. Continuity is the secret to entering into the gates of heaven. And I pray that as you begin to walk this journey, as you begin to walk with God, as you begin to experience new life, new hope in Christ, the grace of God will be made available for you continually in Jesus' name. And as for those who are yet to be saved, who are repenting of their sins, I will be praying with you right now. Just close your eyes and let us pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking, oh God, for as many that are asking for forgiveness of sin, that as many that are willing to walk in your economy, that as many that are willing to accept Jesus Christ and personal Savior today, Lord, I pray, let your mercy rest upon them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will show them mercy. Have mercy on them, O God. Cleanse them from their sin. Cleanse them from their sin. Wash them. Purify their hearts and help give them the grace, O Lord, to serve you to the very end in Jesus' name. As they ask that you help them, Lord, I pray through your Holy Spirit, you begin to minister to their hearts. You begin to minister to their lives and let the yoke of sin in their lives be broken in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you give them the grace to serve you to the very end. Thank you, Father, for anointing done. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. For those who are walking the journey of righteousness, I pray for you today that the grace of the Lord will be made available in your life, that the strength of God will rest upon you, and where you are discouraged, I pray that God Almighty you'll be encouraged by the grace and the strength of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking, oh God, for as many that has attended this fellowship today, I pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to their hearts and life as they begin to grow in your economy, as they begin to walk in your economy, to entering into the gates of heaven. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to make heaven at the end in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know it is done. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.